Check, and we are rolling. That's what the red dot means. It's been a while since I used this device. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a while, but I've been gearing up. You know, if you've been following me on the Instagrams or the Twitters, I'm launching a new like a video version of this podcast called Mildly Interesting on the Prohibited Network, prohibited.com, and all those things. So I've been kind of holding off, expecting those to get released because we're going to put the audio on here. At least that's what was agreed to. So if they decide not to, I'm still going to. So regardless, it doesn't matter. I love you guys. But yeah, I've been kind of holding off because I thought that was going to happen and it keeps getting pushed back. But it sounds like we have a launch date of next week on the 21st. Those episodes will come out on Tuesdays on the internets and Rokus and Amazon Fires and all that. And then a few days later, I'm going to put the audio up on here. So I've been kind of holding off not doing those, but I'm like, you know what, while I still have this and I got the device and I got a lot of friends that are cool and have projects, and I got a lot of people asking to do the show because they got projects, and because the other video show, I'm rambling here, but because of that show, we film a bunch in a day and it takes time to come out. I've been, you know, unfortunately kind of missing some cool guests or whatever, et cetera, but whatever. Long story short, this is going to be a fun episode. Super, like, I was literally flipping through the channels and I saw the commercial for this this movie, and I remember that my buddy wrote it, and I'm like, I texted him, I'm like, hey, let's do a show and let's talk about it and get people to come see it. It's this new movie Alpha, and he'll tell you all about it, because the first time I saw it, I thought it was about a dude dying and a wolf coming back to dead, and the marketing was kind of, I'm not gonna lie, the first trailer I saw, I'm like, this looks stupid. and then I'm like, because I didn't get, the first trailer was literally like a dude falling off a cliff and then a wolf and them following around going to get food. But then subsequent trailers, I get what it is more. Right. And then also, you know, I didn't realize until I saw the thing written by, you know, my buddy, which I'm going to point this out because on Wikipedia it says you're a girl.
Does it really?
Yeah, it says Danielle.
Well, that is actually...
How do you spell your name? Hold on, let me introduce you, because I'm going to try and pronounce your last name. This is going to be fun. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Sebastian Weidenhaupt.
Oh, it was close. Yeah? It was pretty good. Yeah. It's Weidenhaupt.
Weidenhaupt.
But I would say 0 out of 10 people get that one right.
Weiden, because V.
Try.
It's like,
yeah.
is it German?
It's German,
so
yeah.
The W's in German and Polish W's are also a V.
I believe that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, it is correct. Yeah. My real last name is a Polish last name with a W.
Interesting.
Yeah, Weidenhaupt.
Yes, yeah. And that is actually, is it spelled D-A-N-I-E-L-E on Wikipedia?
Yeah.
That is actually the spelling of my first name.
Really?
So my mother's from Italy.
Sounds made up.
I know, it sounds made up, but fun fact, that's the way they spell Daniel in Italy.
Okay.
So my first name is actually
Daniele Weidenhaupt.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They really made it easy for me to get made fun of during attendance in elementary.
How do you pronounce Sebastian?
Sebastian.
Ah.
Yeah. That's the one.
Daniele Sebastian. It sounds like it's like a robot. Daniele Sebastian Weidenhaupt.
Yeah. Exactly. That was good. That was very good.
We've known each other for a while, a couple years. We met at a game night, a friends game night.
We did.
And then we had no idea what each other did, and then we hung out a couple times, and we found out what we do.
Yep.
You write things, and I fuck around.
Yeah, pretty much. And sometimes I fuck around, too.
And I don't do much.
Yeah.
And I do a lot less. Real quick.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about this a little bit also, but shill yourself.
Shill myself.
Yeah. Where can everybody find you on the internet?
Right, on the
internet. And then you got a movie coming out this Friday.
I do.
The 17th.
Movie coming out in 3 days, which is kind of crazy. Yeah. Well, on the internets, if you must know, my Twitter and Instagram handle are DS_WIED. I tweet mostly about food and sometimes about writing. And I Instagram sparingly, probably not as much as I should.
Yeah. But you watch a lot of stories.
But I watch a lot of stories.
You're a consumer on Instagram.
I am a consumer. How do you know this?
Because I can see who watches my stories.
Ah, well, you have good content, right?
I don't know about that.
There you go.
Well, thank you.
And as for shilling myself, I don't really know where to start. But I have lived out in LA for about 8 years now. I worked in film production for 5.5 of those years. Yeah. I was an assistant for a few years. I was a creative executive for a couple years, and I've been writing professionally now for almost 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah.
And Alpha is the latest project you wrote.
Yep.
Was it always called Alpha?
It was first called The Salutrian.
Okay.
So Alpha, just the quick pitch here is a story
or
set.
Or we can do the long pitch.
Or the long
spoil
pitch.
Spoil it for
us. Sure. I'll spoil a little bit.
Not all of us have movie pass.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
No, I'm going to go see it.
Perfect. Yeah. See it in 3D if you can. Or don't. But the 3D actually works really nicely with this film. Yeah.
Wolves scare me. Less than
wolves
humans.
Scare you?
Wolves scare me.
Well,
no, I love wolves.
Wolves turn out to be the good guys in this one.
Oh, spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler. Spoiler number one. So it's set 20,000 years ago during the Ice Age, and it follows a young hunter on his first big hunt who has a pretty bad accident involving a herd of bison and is left for dead. His father thinks he's dead, and the guy wakes up and is very much not dead and has to survive in this unforgiving wilderness along with the help of an injured wolf who at first tries to kill him, and then the boy befriends, and the two have to learn to work together to survive. So to answer your question, it was first called the Solutrean because there was a specific culture of prehistoric people called the Solutreans who were pretty much the first people who were painting cave paintings on walls. They were sewing clothes.
The prequel to Banksy.
Correct. Yeah, they are Banksy BC. Yeah.
Banksy BC.
Banksy BC.
Banksy with the capital B and the C.
Right. Instead of, the K. Yeah,
instead of the K.
And
I'm clever sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. But you found what fascinated us about the Solutreans in particular is that they were the first recorded prehistoric man who were creating art. So you would find bone flutes. You would find ochre that they were using to dye their hair, all this crazy stuff, which was really amazing because a lot of times you think, you know, the Ice Age, you think just the most primitive. But
well, yes. Let's put a pin on that real quick because part of the show is while I talk to people, I look up stuff to see because I'm not very smart. The Ice Age, so let me, because obviously you're writing this, you had to study up about a lot of
stuff.
Studied
a lot.
So you should know some of this.
Oh, God.
The Ice Age began 2.6 million years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Sure. According to Wikipedia.
And ended about 20,000 years ago.
That's what I'm saying, so the movie, according to Wikipedia, takes place in the upper Paleolithic area,
mm-hmm.
and it is the third and last subdivision of the Paleolithic or Old Stone Age.
Right.
Roughly dates between 50 to 10,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie takes place right in the middle of that.
Right, as we are emerging from the ice.
Yeah, so the Old Stone Age, there's a New Stone Age and an Old Stone Age. Yeah, so the Old Stone Age, the period lasted roughly 3.4 million years and ended between 8700 BCE and 2000 BCE. So that's a long, I mean, like comparatively.
Oh, yeah.
Like I was just watching, I've told this to my brother the other day too. I was just watching the Ruth Bader Ginsburg documentary.
Great.
Have you seen it?
I have not.
It's great.
But I love RBG.
The notorious RBG.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, I have no idea who the hell she was.
Okay.
I don't read the news
because
it upsets me and it's whatever.
Sure.
But I was watching it and, I mean, I heard the name and I've seen memes, but I didn't know what she was or whatever. Now I could tell you about Justice League because that stuff interests me.
Right.
But it shouldn't. I should be more interested in the Supreme Court justices and I'm at fault for that. And don't send me hate mail, the 10 of you that listen to this. No, I have more than 10 people that listen to this. A lot more. But what I'm getting at is to... Like in the 50s, they were like, oh, you know, I was the first or the second woman on the Supreme Court. And they're throughout the documentary, they're talking about the breakthroughs of the women's movement and things like that. And I'm all for it. You know, I love the women's movement. I'm all for women equality and women in the workplace and all this stuff. And when you watch these types of documentaries about the 50s or the 40s, you realize, you know, how shitty the United States was to certain groups of people. But you also, when you step back a little bit further, you realize 40 years ago we were shitty. 80 years ago, we were even worse.
Oh, yeah.
So in the scheme of how young the United States is, we've progressed far surmountably faster than most of the world, I would suggest. Socially and economically. You know, not only are we the superpower when it comes to, you know, we're slowly losing to China when it comes to technology and stuff like that, but the space race and you know, social aspects of things and freedoms, we're primarily still the better of the countries. And we've only been around for, you know, since the 1700s, for 300, 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we've, you know, progressed so fast in the last 100.
Yep.
You know, and the reason I'm talking about that is because you look at the United States being around, you know, since the 1700s officially, And then you read things like the Stone Age being 3 million years long.
Oh, yeah, we've been around for a while.
You realize how insignificant the United States is in this, like, in the bucket of time. The United States is a drop of, you know, it's like if you took a bucket of water and you put a little bit of dye in it, mm-hmm. it would only change a little circle of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how little. Do you mean so? Oh, not yeah. to cut I mean, you off then, about the
and,
Stone
and
Age.
Then, no, and then you realize how insignificant our own lives are.
Yeah.
Not to get too nihilistic.
Not to get nihilistic, but
yeah.
we're insignificant, but we're significant in, the, you know, make the change now.
Exactly.
Which is what we're doing now. Everybody, right. you know, the women's movement, the Me Too's, or even in the 50s, Ruth Bader, it's like, make the change now. And even even she said, she's like, she even was like baby steps almost. Like in the right. documentary, she's like, you know, you do one thing and then you can slowly do mm-hmm. more. You can't change them immediately because then there will be backlash and things like that. And, you know, I'm of that as well. But like people, it's like the adage of, you know, I have friends who just spend all their money and it's like, you can't take it with you. And it's like, but I also don't plan on dying tomorrow.
Right, right.
You know?
Yes.
So it's like as small of a fraction, you know, we're here 80 years mm-hmm. as human beings, you know, but our kids will be here for another 80 and their grandkids another 80.
Right.
So at most, I'm concerned about 200 years.
Right. Which is
my great, great, great grandkids. I don't really care about because they're probably going to be shitty millennials, you know, but it's like in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
In the scheme of the time this earth has been around.
Yeah.
You have dudes running around with wolves 20,000 years ago.
Yep.
And even before that, 3 million years ago.
Yeah.
Now researching this, When you back to this mm-hmm. the Stone Age and talking about the Upper Paleolithic and mm-hmm. the Ice Age, did you realize how did you come about setting it 20,000 years ago? When did first man arrive? Did you study all of that and look at all that?
Okay, so I think I should lay out first and foremost.
Or let's go. We'll go into this.
Yeah.
Did you get hired for this or did you pitch this?
No. So neither.
Neither.
So basically, what happened was this: I was an executive at a company called Atlas Entertainment at the time,
okay.
which did like The Dark Knight, American Hustle. And I was introduced to Albert Hughes, one half okay. of the Hughes brothers. And he was living in Prague at the time. Albert is the first person who encouraged me to become a writer. I had helped him edit a script that he was working on. And after he read what I had done, called me and was like, he had this idea. He'd been researching it for about 10 years about this movie, and he'd been looking for the right writer for it. He thought I was a great fit, and he asked me if I wanted to do it, and I was like, hell yeah, let's do this. You know, I'd always wanted to write, but I also enjoy paying rent and, you know, feeding myself. So originally, my plan was, you know, I'm going to become a great producer, and then maybe when I'm 50 years old, I'll write a screenplay that I can produce. And then this opportunity presented itself. So Albert had done a ton of research over the past decade about the origin of the domesticated dog, about when wolves and humans first started interacting, when you first start finding wolf bones buried alongside human bones. And it all sort of falls around this time period. And once he had discovered the Solutrians, that sort of opened it up for him and for us. So the
Solutrian, I'm looking on Wikipedia.
Yes.
It's an industry. The Solutrian industry is relatively advanced tool-making style.
Yes. So they were most famous for their spearheads. And, you know, there is research that suggests that these spearheads were sharper than modern scalpels. They used a very unique flint napping technology in order to create them. And we actually found a guy named Carl Lee who lives in England and does this for a living, who came on board and advised us as to the proper technique. So a lot of the stuff you'll see in the movie is very true to form. We also spent a lot of time talking to one of the curators and archaeologists at the British National Museum, who was an expert in this time period. So she walked us through. So there's a ton of painstaking work that was done, especially by Albert. For Albert, it was very important that we were as accurate as possible when putting this movie together. So yeah, I mean, we read a lot, but again, the real research was done by Albert in terms of setting this up. And then he was like, read this book, read this book, read this book. And I did.
And the industry, the Salutrians, was named by Gabriel de Mortelle to describe the second stage of the cave chronology that I guess he's been studying following the Mousterian, and he considered it synchronous with the third division of the quaternary period, which is all a bunch of eras that he decided, you know, it's all
great.
It's all tool and whatever. But the apparently it was located, the term comes from the Rock of Sultor. It's a limestone escarpment west of Macon, France.
Solutre.
Which is dated to around 21,000 years ago. Yeah. Solutre is a commune, and it's the region of known for, you know, the Rock of Solutre, which is, I guess, a big, beautiful-looking, like, it's, you know, way better than Runyon Canyon, if you're familiar with Los Angeles.
Yes, it's slightly more impressive.
So you got... He brought you on to write this.
Yeah, he brought me on. And I basically, so it's called writing on spec, meaning I'm writing it on speculation that I might get paid one day. And
even so, he pitched you the story.
Pitched me the story, asked me if I was interested in writing it. I said, fuck yeah, let's do it.
So for the listeners that don't know, sometimes when it comes to like movie writing, you can sell a pitch and they pay you to write the script, and you'll get paid in divisions as you're writing it, drafts. Other times there's a spec, you get paid on spec, which is you write the movie on your own. You come up with the idea, you write the story, and then you pitch the spec, and then
you pitch the script. Yeah.
You pitch the script, but also writing on spec when producers can pitch you a story. And you write on spec as well?
Yeah.
So you're taking the chance of writing a script for free for a producer.
Right.
Now, how many other people does he have maybe writing the same spec script?
Well, there was no one else.
There was nobody else. Okay.
No, I mean, because he wanted to be very, you know, Albert was an incredible mentor to me throughout the process. Okay. And the way it would go is, you know, as I said, he lives in Prague.
Yeah.
So I had my day job.
Has he always lived in Prague?
No, he moved to Prague. I couldn't tell you exactly when, but
roughly. But you worked with him eye to eye.
Yeah, when
in person for a bit.
Well, when he was in town for meetings and such, we would meet. But a lot of times, what I would do is, you know, I had the day job. I was working as an executive during the day. I would go home at night. I would write for a couple of hours, and then on the weekends we would Skype.
Okay.
You know, I would send him the pages. We'd talk through them. He'd give me ideas. He'd make suggestions or cuts, and. That was about a year-long process. I mean, I knew this was a movie he wanted to make. At the time, he hadn't made a movie without his twin brother yet. So he, you know, was looking to make his first sort of solo debut as a director. And for anyone who doesn't know, the Hughes brothers, you know, Menace to Society, The Book of Eli, From Hell, they're incredible filmmakers.
Where was I?
Writing
on spec. Yeah, of course. Writing it on spec. Sorry, I only had one cup of coffee today.
No.
And so, I was writing it for about a year, nights and weekends and whenever I could. And then one day I got a call from Albert telling me that, you know, his first agent back when Albert was, you know, 18 years old had just, his name was Jeff Robinoff. He used to run Warner Brothers. And had just opened a company called Studio 8, a production company set up at Sony.
Yeah.
And that Jeff had read an early draft of our script and wanted to buy it and make it one of his first movies. And I was like, what? You know, in my head, I wanted to write a great movie and I wanted, but all I knew was, you know, I can't control anything that happens with it. I was an aspiring screenwriter and I was like, okay, maybe I can write. If I can write a great script, maybe someone will represent me.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I can get an agent from this. Obviously, you know, to get the movie made was the dream and the hope, but you can never rely on anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, I know many working screenwriters that have never had a movie made.
It's amazing how many movies sell.
Right.
And keep people employed and people can buy houses and live comfortably.
Totally.
And have never made a movie.
Yeah.
It's like Mila Kunis was just on, I think it was Mark Maron or Dax Shepard, and they were talking about, you know, her television production company.
Mm-hmm.
And they've sold, I guess, 19 shows, and none of them have gotten produced. But they got, you know, You can sell movies. You can write movies. You can sell movies, and they don't get made.
Yeah. So yeah, when I heard that, it was, you know, dream come true, and that was the fall of 2014. And so I finished out the year at Atlas, and you know that they were an amazing company for me. Chuck Rovin, their principal, was like also a great mentor for me and an amazing boss. And
you have the sole credit on this.
I do have the sole credit.
That's big. That's a big thing too, because yes, a lot of times, you know, a lot of first writers, especially, will have to share. Or mm-hmm. a lot of movies, you know, you'll see nine writing credits.
You'll see nine writing credits, and that means maybe 18 people ended up working on
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
You know, but no, I'm very, very lucky in terms of how the whole thing went down. And for, you know, I was just a weird kid from Buffalo, New York, who yeah. had, you know, crazy dreams, and to watch them come true has been a really surreal experience.
What was it like growing up in Buffalo?
It was interesting. I mean, I love
Northern.
Western New York,
right?
Western New York, right on Philadelphia. Yeah,
Pennsylvania,
closer to Cleveland, I think. Right on Lake Erie.
Lake Erie.
Yeah, we got that lake effect snow. No, growing up in Buffalo was amazing. You know, it gets a lot of shit. People like to crap on Buffalo a lot, and sometimes it's deserved. But
oh yeah, I'm looking at a map here, and this is how much. I mean, I know the United States.
Yeah.
But I always, for some reason, think New York is to the east of Pennsylvania, but it actually wraps up and around the top of Pennsylvania.
Yes, it does.
So you're absolutely right. It is pretty close to Cleveland.
People forget about Western New York, even though Buffalo is the second largest city in the state. No, but it was an incredible place to grow up. I had an amazing group of friends. I went to an incredible school there called Nichols School. You know, there was a lot of snow.
Yeah.
Great football fans. Our team frequently leaves something to be desired, but love the Bills dearly.
Yeah. How often would you go to Niagara Falls? Because that's literally like 30
minutes away. I would go way too many times, because anytime somebody would visit, you'd have to take them to the falls. I will say this fun fact about Buffalo: the Niagara Falls are actually way more beautiful during the winter.
Yeah.
When it's all icy, and yeah, that's a really amazing sight. But yeah, great wings. You know,
and how old are you? Have we talked about this?
I'm 30 years old.
You're 30 years old. Okay.
Yeah.
So what was high school like 6 years younger than me?
Like,
let me ask you this, because growing up, especially since you were near like the Cleveland and the Pennsylvania area, mm-hmm. was Polish, did you have Polish festivals in Buffalo?
Well, because do you know?
Because growing up, I think it's either, it might be in Buffalo or it might be in Pennsylvania somewhere.
Are we talking about Dingus Day?
Dingus Day.
Dingus Day is a Buffalo thing.
Dingus Day is a Buffalo thing.
Uh-huh.
I've been waiting for somebody to talk about Dingus Day for a while.
Oh, you know who loves Dingus Day is Anderson Cooper.
If
you ever want to see a great clip, look up Anderson Cooper Dingus Day, because there's a tradition in which one kid chases another kid, hitting them with a pussy willow.
Yes, that's
and
exactly what it is.
Yeah, I don't understand why. I'm not Polish, but Anderson Cooper trying to say pussy willow with a straight face is a sight to be seen.
Smigus Dingus, also known as, it's a Polish word that I could figure it out if I looked long enough, because I do know some of the Polish.
Mm.
But it means Wet Monday in Polish.
Mm.
And it's a celebration held on Easter Monday in Poland and the Ukraine. For a whole day, it is also observed by amongst Polish Americans, who call it Dingus Day, which is, it's big in Buffalo. And traditionally, boys throw water over girls and spank them with pussy willow branches mm-hmm. on Easter Monday, and girls will do the same to boys.
Makes perfect sense.
This is, I'm reading the Wikipedia here. This is accompanied by a number of other rituals, such as making verse declarations and holding door-to-door processions. But it's a big, it's a Polish thing. And from where I'm from, Michigan, and my grandfather was in a polka band, and Polish, and you know, even like in the movie Home Alone in the 80s
mm-hmm.
and in the 70s and even in the 60s, 70s and 80s, I would say there was a big, almost like a Polish pre-internet, you know, Polish festivals were a thing.
Yeah.
You know, huge. You know, polka bands were huge.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Midwest, it seems like, in the Pennsylvania.
Right.
Like, a lot of the polka bands that are known, at least that I know of, as some of the best polka bands in the Midwest area were from, you know, either, like, Minnesota,
okay,
Chicago, Pennsylvania, or, like, New York, because you have that area, which is, I should say Western New York, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's a giant Polish community.
You know, you have the Polish people, they land in New York and then they migrate west and they find their communities.
Mm-hmm.
And Dingus Day is a big thing in Buffalo.
Yes, it is. I mean, look, any excuse to drink and eat in Buffalo is well celebrated and rightfully so. But yeah, no, there's a very large Polish community in Buffalo.
Apparently, Buffalo is the Dingus Day capital of the world.
There you go.
According to the internet, Dingus Day, the annual post-Leighton bash, attracts tens of thousands to Buffalo, New York.
I mean, you see?
Isn't that something? Well, so you're not Polish, but...
I'm not Polish,
but
no.
But that was the thing. You noticed the Polish...
Oh, you everybody knew Dingus Day. Yeah.
What was... So when did you move out of Buffalo?
I moved out of Buffalo in 2006. I graduated from high school. I went to the University of Chicago.
Okay.
I studied philosophy for 4 years. Got my degree.
Yeah.
It was great.
And then you decided you didn't want to do that?
I mean, no. I always... So,
like
you know,
most,
I have
like most college kids, you change your major.
I have a habit of pursuing things that don't promise to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But no. You know, I had this notion in my head that when I went to college, if I was going to spend 4 years studying something intensely, I wanted to make sure I was studying something where, like, it wasn't something I could just learn from reading a book.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted something that was going to teach, because I didn't necessarily know what exactly I was going to do. I wanted to study something I knew I could use for anything. And what I always loved about philosophy was, basically teaches you how to think and teaches you how to ask questions and how to read things and
have
logic,
have a dialogue.
Exactly. And, you know, I always loved those old philosophy 101 questions. So I studied it, and it's honestly one of the best things I did for myself, because it's still something I use pretty much every day when I write.
It's definitely, you know, that's one thing I love about podcasting and listening to podcasts is just talking to different people and learning about different areas of, you know, where they grew up or what they experienced. Because in the end, it all comes down to just, you know, like the wheel of life, a strive for learning and being the best person you can be, whether or not it's, you know, with relationships or career or, you know, learning. And I'm on a constant quest for knowledge. You know, whether or not I, you know, obviously I portray that I'm a simpleton and I'm, you know, I'm not an idiot, but by any means, I just, you know, it's very interesting to have the dialogue and philosophize, as they say, with people about, you know, movements or technology or, you know, is, you know, what is going to be the outcome looking at the past of, you know, future generations or post generations. And, you know, the meaning of life, because in the end, we are all just floating around on a ball of, you know, water and rock hurtling through space.
Oh, yeah. Just a dust speck in an infinite void.
As Kansas said that.
Dust in the wind.
You know?
Exactly. No, but it was great. I had a great time in college and learned a lot. What I remember of it, not so much, but I learned a lot while I was there.
Yeah.
And I moved out here the day that I graduated. I had a job lined up to become an assistant to a producer and got my ass out here.
Yeah. And have you put that in a lot of your writing? Because I know you got a lot of projects coming up.
Yeah, got working on quite a few things.
You're going to have more after this movie.
Let's hope. You know, I as I like to say, you know, this is the movie that gave me a career in screenwriting and could be the movie that.
I mean, you're opening up against a lot, but you're projected to come in like third or fourth, which is great.
Listen, I'm just happy to be on the board. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's really easy to get lost in the, like, what are the box office projections and what are the reviews going to be? And it's easy for me to get caught up in that, but it's when I take a step back, and I've had, you know, thankfully I have great people in my life that sort of, you know, keep me grounded. But, you know, when I take a step back, it's like, what the fuck? I have a movie coming out, you know, like I won, you know, like that's all I cared about. This has been my lifelong dream.
And in theaters.
Yeah.
Which is like what you grow up doing, going to the theater.
And I love going to the movies. I go to the movies almost every day.
It's an interesting thing because, like, obviously as a comic and, you know, as a movie fan, you know, it's fun to roast things. It's
totally.
The easy way for comedy is to shit on things.
Right.
And it's fun to, you know, make fun of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to, you know, I'll I see a lot of movies.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad movies. I enjoy bad movies too.
Yeah.
But in the sense of, you know, anytime I make fun of something, I always like to preface being like, I've never made a movie.
Right.
Because there's also, I mean, look, not only, even if it's a bad movie,
mm-hmm.
it still got made.
Right.
Do you know how hard, like, you know.
Oh, it's hard to make.
Of all people,
and listen, I've worked on, yeah. No, I get it.
There's movies that. There's movies that get made and then don't get released.
Yep.
There's movies that get sold and have people hired on and then they get canned. There's movies that don't even get made. Like, to have a movie not only made,
yep.
but then to have it released in theaters
yep.
is the biggest achievement in this industry. Who cares about getting a golden statue? You got a movie
yeah.
in a theater
yep.
that people could pay to go see.
Yeah, hopefully more than one person pays to go see. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be great.
Like, that's bananas. Awesome.
But
like,
yeah, no, it's insane. It's yeah. insane. When I think about it, when I think about how, you know, I mean, I've been writing stories in some shape or form since I was 3-4 years old.
Yeah.
I used to, like, dictate to my mom, and she would type them up for me.
Yeah.
And then I would illustrate really bad stick figures. But, like, yeah, and then to look now, and it's, you know, I see my trailer on TV is
yeah.
a insane thing. It's
yeah.
really fucking crazy. So I feel super lucky, and you know, anything else that happens, that's all gravy.
Yeah. You know, I mean, and that's exactly it. Is
yeah.
it's to get something made. Not only is it awesome to sell things, but then to actually have it made.
Yeah.
Is like,
it's amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's awesome, and it's easy to get caught up. Even, you know, like, even like, you know, with this podcast or things I've done, it's like
mm-hmm.
you know I wrote a book and I put it out there and I self-published,
which is fantastic
it.
By the way, I'm getting it for my niece and nephew.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And you know, and I self-published that, which because it's you know, I tried to get it published with publishers and you know they were like no, and so that's
mm-hmm.
that's a whole thing of getting things made. So then
right.
I made it on my own, and it's like, you know, it's easy to look at, you know, the sales and be like, oh, you know, that's whatever, but
right.
it's still like,
but it's out there.
It's out there.
You made a thing. And
I wrote
and
a movie.
People,
I wrote
yeah.
a book, paid a guy to draw it, edited it, made it look, I edited the illustrations and made it look like how I wanted it.
Yeah.
And then I self-published it, and now people can buy it
right.
on Amazon, where they can buy everything.
Oh yeah.
And I did that on my own, much like independent producers do independent
right.
movies. It's
yeah.
baby steps. It's different types of steps, and it's easy to get sidetracked on the success of a project.
It is.
When the biggest success of a project
is completing it.
Is completing
it. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, I love living in LA and I love the industry, and it's, you know, I wouldn't trade it for a thing, but that's one of the things where it's super easy to get caught up in it, where, you know, because we both know very successful people who are, you
yeah.
know, it's super easy to then compare yourself to that or just get caught up in it. And it's like,
imposter
what
syndrome.
Matters? Imposter syndrome.
Do you
is
have
also
that?
A thing. Oh, yeah.
I have it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking
I mean,
to my brother about it yesterday, and he's like, everybody's got it. Nobody should feel like they should
right.
have a job instead of somebody else.
Oh, I constantly wake up every single day and I'm like, oh, this is the day.
Yeah.
This is the day they all figure out
yeah.
that I'm a fraud.
Yeah.
And somehow I keep, you know,
how many
I'm
notifications
still here.
Do I have?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Did they figure it out?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Checking my emails, like,
yeah.
oh, am I getting fired today? Oh, I still have a job. Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
I guess it makes you try to do better or make
it definitely
it's,
no it
it's,
definitely
it's
does a, it definitely does
because it is weird, especially when you have friends that are successful
oh, yeah.
but it's like they feel the same way.
Yeah,
everybody feels
yeah.
like they don't.
I want someone,
and if they don't, if successful people, I mean, look, we're successful people, you know,
yeah.
we create and we finish projects.
We're here yeah.
we're here, but if majorly successful people
yeah.
don't feel like they don't belong, then they're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, everybody should almost feel, you know what I mean? Like, any sane person
yeah.
should feel like they're pulling the wool over somebody's eyes.
I mean, I heard a great quote the other day, or maybe I saw it on Twitter. Either way, someone much wiser than me said, you know, any writer who thinks they're a great writer is not a writer.
Yeah.
You know, that's just how it is. And I do think it's important because, you know, I hope that everything that I work on or everything I write should be better than the last thing that I wrote. You know, that's
yeah.
the only thing I can control, is just to continue to try to get better at what I do. But yeah, it can
in
be
theory.
Tough. Like, in theory, yeah.
What are you excited about? What excites you right now? In
what
the
excites
world
in the
or
world?
In film or whatever?
What excites me the
what
most?
You, what's the one of these questions? I've been trying to ask a few questions lately just because it's
Yeah.
What's the last thing you read? Because I don't read books. I need to start reading more books.
Uh-huh.
Have you read a book lately?
Oh, yeah.
Do you believe in aliens? Mm-hmm. Or what excites you in general?
Great. Like, these are three fantastic questions. Can we do them all?
Sure. Let's do them all.
The last book that I read, I'm in the middle of reading The Kid Stays in the Picture.
Love it. Which love is the movie. The Bob, seen the movie. Yeah. I haven't read the book.
I haven't seen the movie, but the Bob Evans autobiography. And I'm also, I tend to like read multiple books at once because sometimes I want to read about Bob Evans.
Now, do you read them or do you listen to them?
I read.
Okay.
I like paper copies of books. I have a really bad habit of, there's two bookshelves in my apartment.
Yeah.
One of which is books that I've read and one of them is books I've ordered off of Amazon compulsively and have to get through.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like hard copies of books. I'm halfway through, Remains of the Day.
Okay.
Which is also an incredible, very sad book, but a great book. But yeah, I try to get through, you know, a book at least every week or so if I can.
I need to work on that. It's hard for me to read. Like I can read, but my imagination, like words confuse me. And then even listening, it's like listening to podcasts. I listen to them when I drive, and half the time I need to.
I do it on purpose because what I used to, growing up, I read all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I would read a Harry Potter book in a day. I was, you know, a crazy reader.
Yeah.
I didn't really go out much as a kid. But I loved reading. And then, you know, when I started working out after college and I started working out here, I was mostly only reading scripts and I stopped reading for fun. And the first time I picked up a book for fun, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, I realized how hard it was for me to pay attention for longer than 5-10 pages. And I was like, this is absurd. But it's just the muscle, you know, like the more you use it, then the easier it becomes. And so I try to force myself to do that. Otherwise, I kind of go crazy just checking Twitter before I go to bed. I can't do that.
Yeah, I need to start doing that, especially like I'm on the dating apps just because that's the game. Mm. Like if I can't sleep, I'll just scroll Twitter or Instagram or
God, why would you do that to yourself?
It's because I can't read.
Yeah.
So that's my goal is now I want to start finding out books that are interesting or whatever. Yep. What other people are reading?
Yeah.
Because I need to figure something out. I need to do something, you know, because I'm on a constant quest for knowledge, you know, in quotes.
Yeah.
You know, and something I want to learn to do. It's something I want to, you know, it's like, oh, I want to learn to like coffee. I want to learn how to enjoy reading.
Right. You just
people are always
do it.
Like, oh, I read this book.
Yeah.
People are always like, oh, I read this. And it's like, have you heard about this book? And it's like, I don't hear about books.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, people don't talk about books enough. You know? I think it's sad, but it's, you know, I think a great way to start is to read poetry.
Yeah.
Or short stories.
Yeah.
You know, things that, and then you work your way into, longer. You know, longer form. Yeah. Like I did it with, I started reading Bukowski poems and then I read his novels and, you know, it was a good transition for me.
Yeah. Do you believe in aliens?
Yes.
Do you believe they have visited Earth?
Great question. Have you heard of the Fermi paradox?
No. What is that?
Okay. So.
How do you spell it?
Fermi paradox.
There we go.
Okay.
The thing.
So.
Named after physicist Enrico Fermi.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to read the opening line?
Named after the physicist Enrico Fermi is the apparent contradiction between the lack of evidence and high probability estimates for the existence of extraterrestrial civilizations.
Right.
The basic points of the argument made by physicist Enrico Fermi are there are billions of stars in the galaxy that are similar to the sun, and many of these stars are billions of years older than the solar system. With high probability, some of these stars have Earth-like planets, and if the Earth is typical, some may have developed intelligent life. Some of these civilizations may have developed interstellar travel, a step the Earth is investigating now. Even at the slow pace of currently envisioned interstellar travel, the Milky Way galaxy could be completely traversed in a few million years.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the four bullet points.
So basically what it boils down to is there is a high likelihood that there is extraterrestrial life, or we are absolutely alone in the universe. Because with the high likelihood of being extraterrestrial life, either they have visited us and decided we're not worthy of being viewed, or they just don't exist, right? I don't necessarily agree with it. And I'm, by the way, being extraordinarily reductive in my explanation of, and there are people much smarter than me that can explain it better. But I've always been super fascinated with it because I do think it poses a good point. Like, if they're out there, why haven't we heard from them? And my answer to that would be, look around. You know, if I were a highly advanced alien civilization and I popped in for a few minutes and I took a look around, I'd be like, fuck these guys.
Yeah.
They're not ready for all this shit.
It's one of those, there's a few theories where it's like, you know, there's either spatial travel, interstellar travel, whatever. And in order to really reach intergalactic travel, mm-hmm. which is what you would need to travel among stars, you need to have everybody at peace on an Earth or have a utopian society or a Gestapo, you know, like
a very militaristic.
But there's also the levels of, you know, there's either one alien species that has gotten that far.
Right, and dominated
others. And they dominate others. Mm-hmm. And they just, once you get enough to do that, they take you out, almost like monopolies do. Almost like Facebook does, like with competitive things, because they realize there shouldn't be that type of power out there.
Right.
But then there's also the idea of, you know, them coming here and realizing we're not intelligent enough to utilize that information or that system. Or there's also the Star Trek, you know, there's a phrase in Star Trek where they don't interfere with societies, or United Federation of Planets. There's a Star Trek phrase, whatever their core rule is.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look at Star Trek rule. It's basically about you don't interfere with other societies.
Yeah,
and that could be.
Oh, absolutely.
But also if you...
But we're also making huge assumptions.
Prime directive.
Right.
You know, but also there's the idea of, if aliens exist, could we as humans cope with the idea? Because we are such a primitive species, could we understand the concept of this giant...
Yeah, I mean, I also think it's a huge assumption that we make that aliens look a certain way or communicate the ways that we do. I mean, it could exist. They could be on a tiny molecular level and have, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's so many.
They could
different
be the
ways.
Ghosts we see on another spectrum of light.
Sure.
Ultraviolet lights.
There's 8 million different possibilities. But I think the safe bet is to say, for us to be the only things in the universe
that are alive.
No. Like, that's so cocky.
Yeah.
If we are the ultimate species in the universe, that's sad for the universe.
And that's primitive for us to think that aliens need to travel amongst spaceships.
Right.
Who's to say they can't travel amongst light? Or gases.
Maybe they're watching us. Maybe we're entertainment. You know, who knows?
You know?
I mean, there's a great book, which you should read, called The End of Eternity by Isaac Asimov.
Okay.
And I'm mentioning it mostly because I adapted it into a screenplay.
Okay.
But it's an amazing, amazing science fiction book.
I'm going to put it in turnaround.
Amazing science fiction book that sort of predates the Star Trek and predates a movie called The Adjustment Bureau, which is vaguely based on it.
I enjoyed the movie, even though people.
It's totally
fine.
It was a great.
It's a fun idea.
I love watching Matt Damon run.
He's almost as much as I enjoy
Tom Cruise running.
You know how much I like Tom Cruise running.
But the book End of Eternity is basically about a group of people that exists outside of time that observes humanity, and helps fix its problems and keeps us on track. And they have a very similar viewpoint of, you know, we never interfere with the affairs of a civilization unless it's absolutely, you know, necessary for its survival. But yeah, no, there are aliens. You heard it here first.
Yeah. MTV News.
Yeah.
What excites you? What are you excited about as we're closing out?
What am I excited about? Honestly,
Besides
the movie coming out, what am I excited? Excited about a couple things. I'm very excited because my entire family is flying in for this movie release, and we all haven't been together in almost 10 years, which is crazy. That's my siblings live all over the world, so that I'm probably the most excited about. That
for you.
That means everything.
Do you have nieces and nephews or anything like
that? I have a niece and a nephew. So 10 and 8.
Ooh, fun ages.
Great age.
I have a 10 and 8.
Yeah. Sending them to Harry Potter World on Saturday.
That's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, and I'm very excited. I'm excited to see them. It's going to be great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dan, where can everybody follow you on Twitter?
Twitter.
Instagram again. Sell your Instagram. So
DS_WIED. on Twitter and Instagram. Follow me for self-loathing tweets about tequila, carbs, and filmmaking.
Yeah, and food, because he likes to post pictures of food. Right? You're a foodie?
Well, I like to eat it.
You're a partier. You like to have a good time.
I'm more of a gourmand than a gourmet, yeah. Meaning I enjoy quantities necessary. I mean, I like quality, too. I like large quantities of quality food.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Yeah,
who doesn't?
Overextending. I love it.
Hey, Razzle, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for doing this.
Yeah,
and
no
once
problem.
Once again, everybody go see Alpha in theaters this Friday, the 17th. Go see it. It's great. You've seen Mark Wahlberg save the day many times. Don't go see Mile 22, although I'm sure it's fun, whatever.
See all the movies.
See all the movies.
See all the movies, but like see mine in 3D.
Go see Alpha in 3D. Get them dollars into the box office. Go see Crazy Rich Asians. My buddy John directed that. That's a really fun movie, too.
Definitely see that.
I like Mark Wahlberg, and I want him to keep making movies, so go see Mile 22. But first, go. Here's what you do. You go in alphabetical order.
You go in alphabetical order. I like that.
Alpha,
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Go see Crazy Rich Asians, and then go see Mile 22.
Yeah.
In alphabetical order.
Perfect.
I love it. Then go see, first go see The Meg, and then Mile 22. I haven't seen The Meg yet. Have you seen The Meg?
No, but I really want to see
The Meg. Let's go see it. You're busy this week. We'll have to,
I am,
we'll
but we will go see The Meg for sure.
Once again, Danielle, thanks for doing this.
Thank
you,
Razzle.
Or should I say Danielle?
There we go.
Danielle.
My mother's going to be so happy when
Danielle
she listens to this
Sebastian
podcast.
Danielle, Sebastian, Weidenhope. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Tell all your friends to listen to this on iTunes and all that stuff. And then stay tuned for Mildly Interesting Unprohibited, which is basically what you just heard, only with video and a set. And on different places.
Thank you for keeping me off of video.
Absolutely.
Razzle. I appreciate it. Well, everyone else appreciates it.
I once, next project, I would have loved to have you on the video, but literally the video is like, I'm thankful they're letting me do it, but it's slower. The progression is like, as you know, making things is.
It's a process, but I have a face for radio, so it's better off this way.
Oh, well, you and me both, brother. I'm wearing a mask the entire time I'm filming.
Perfect.
I have all the light focused on my guests. Once again, thanks everybody. Tell your friends. And as always, don't be a dick and always be learning. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Danielle.